I want to read a scripture here and share something just from my heart real quick. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9. And many times people do. We have results. Amen. And Jesus did too. And verse 35 says this: "Then Jesus went about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes," okay, so he's out here. He's teaching, preaching the gospel. People are being healed of sicknesses and diseases, okay? Things are happening. How many know, even though things are happening, but when he saw the multitudes, it says, verse 36, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And then he said to the disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest." And so here he was out teaching, preaching. He brought healing. Yet, even though people received, how many know you can receive something from God? You may give your heart to Jesus. People, I'm sure, you know, you may receive a miracle in your life. But sometimes, how many people here? Sometimes you need somebody to walk with you. Amen. And many times, even after we receive a miracle, we need somebody to help encourage us to hang on to the things that God has given us and help us to understand all the things that we have. Amen. Anybody here ever needed that? You needed, hey, I needed some help. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I learned some things sometimes from somebody that was able to come up alongside me. And we can each reach somebody, and sometimes we each need somebody to stand with us. And we're going to be standing with Vicki and Laura and believe in God for them. I know that the enemy comes to attack, but God comes to win and take over. I got news for the devil. He's in trouble. Because guess what? When we join together, what does the Bible say? One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put, what, 10,000. And sometimes there is a force that comes with the when we come together, amen, and we begin to do battle, and we win in the spiritual realm. How many know when you win in the spiritual realm, it begins to manifest in the natural realm? Things begin to change. Amen. So we're going to keep praying for them and keep believing God and stand with them. So we need to remember sometimes, even though good things are happening all around us, we still have to have compassion. Amen. Let the compassion of God move us. And sometimes when we see people that seem like, hey, maybe they need a hand, maybe they need a smile, maybe they need a friend. You know, some people sometimes come in and, you know, I remember one time the guy, he was there and he's sitting in the back of the church. Well, he came all by himself. And I'm looking around and I just know God's speaking to what? My heart, go sit with that person. You know, and we need to decide when we're walking with God, we don't get to do what we want to do. You know, sometimes it's nice. How many knows? Hey, it's always good. I like to sit with my wife. I like to sit with my family, you know, when I'm in the church. But God said, go sit with him. And he was a fairly new believer, new to the things of God. You know, and needed someone to help him and have compassion and to bring comfort and bring certain direction in their life. Amen. How come? How many know? Sometimes, you know, you don't know everything, but sometimes you can just love somebody. Anybody here ever just need love? You just need somebody. You need Jesus with some flesh on their body. Amen. Anybody here ever needed that? hey, I just need Jesus with some flesh. That means somebody that knows God, that loves God, and that will love you without judgment and will walk with you and care about you and give you a hug. Amen. Maybe you need a hug, or you just need to see somebody. Amen. Or talk, or you just need them to sit with you. You need a listening ear. There's all kinds of people right now, this time of year. They need somebody to listen. They need somebody to care. Amen. They're all around us, and we have opportunity. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there. That's not really my message tonight, but that's part of the message. It's just the heart of God. Amen. Because He is moved with compassion. Praise the Lord. And there are many times we've been talking about revival, but we also have been talking about what? The love of God. There are many components to revival. Amen. Yes, it's about seeing people get saved. Yes, it's about praying for people. Yes, it's about seeking after God. Yes, it's about being hungry for God. But they also had to have what? Discipleship. Amen. They had to have some teaching. Anybody in here, you ever have to learn something? Amen. And sometimes, you know, when I first got saved, at least, or when I was new in the Lord, I mean, I read the Bible, I understood some of the words, but I didn't have a lot of understanding. Sometimes we need some help, and sometimes it takes someone that has walked before us, amen, who will walk with us. Praise the Lord. Well, that's good preaching anyhow, Pastor Doug. All right, let's go to, Matthew 14. We're in Matthew here. Let's go over to Matthew 14. Because I am talking about the compassion of Jesus tonight a little bit here. I want us to see a few things, and I'm going to just share my heart, because God really is. I mean, I know sometimes you see me and maybe it looks like I'm about to cry. Just pray for me. I'm just interceding. God sometimes moves in my heart. You know, it may not be always tears, you know, but you feel that in your heart. And that, you know, you have a prayer that's going up from your spirit. Amen. For men and women of God, and for the mind of God and the heart of God to come to pass. Hallelujah. And when Jesus, verse 14 says this. Well, let's look at 13. 13 and 14. He's feeding the 5,000 here. It says, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. So here's Jesus, and he's trying to get away to be alone with God. Verse 14, and when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. So they're following him. They followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. And so here we see again where Jesus was moved with compassion. See, compassion is the love of God, but it comes to such a depth that it promotes an action. It seems the love of God so wells up on the inside of him, see? He was moved. How many have ever had the love of God move you? Amen. It moves us, what? To care about somebody else. It moves us to pray for somebody else. It moves us to a place of action. And see, when we are moved with compassion, then we know what? God's in it. Amen. He's with us. It is the love of God that's in our heart. And it is the love of God, it is the compassion of God that moves us. He said they were moved. He's moved with compassion and healed their sick. And so then the hour was late, and when the evening was come, verse 15 says, when the evening was come, his disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves some food. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragrance of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So here we see again Jesus. See, he was just moved with compassion, and he healed the sick. And here again we see him saying, hey, what do you have? He asked the disciples something. He says, why don't you feed them? They're telling Jesus, hey, they've been here. These people have gathered. We've been having meetings here for a little bit. They're getting hungry. Send them to go to the village. In other words, if we were here, we'd say, hey, let's have a little time off. Everybody can go get your food, you know, go get something to eat. We'll meet back in a little bit. So the disciples are saying, hey, send them on, you know, let them go get something to eat. You know, we'll have a meeting another time. Jesus says, why don't you give them something to eat? Well, where are we going to get food for all these people? Well, what do you have? And sometimes we have to ask ourselves, see, there's something that you already have. There's already part of God living on the inside of you. You have something that you can give to the hungry person, to the person that's hurting, to the person that's broken. It's on the inside of you. It's called the compassion of God, the love of God. We've been talking about that too, right? It's the love of God we shed abroad where? In our heart, in our inward man. No, not in our fleshly man. Our fleshly man probably doesn't want to go out of our way. See, it wants to do its own thing, right? It has an agenda. But when we're going to follow after God, if we're going to follow His purpose and His plan and what He desires for our life, then we have to decide, I don't get to do what I want to do anymore. I don't get to have my own way. Because God's got a purpose. He's got a plan. Hallelujah. And sometimes it's not easy. It's not easy to surrender our will, is it? Sometimes that's the hardest thing we have to do, is surrender our will to the will of the Father. And sometimes it's inconvenient to what we think we should do. But when we see what God's will is, there's what the general will of God, we know that, right? There's the will of God that He has set in order. Here Jesus was doing a lot of times, He went about doing good, healing the sick, right? Preaching the gospel. You know, ministering to people. Here he was ministering to the hungry. He said, what do we have? We got some bread? All right, Father, thank you. He gives it to the disciples. What do you have, men? What is it in you that you have? God can multiply the things that you already have in you. So, well, I've got Jesus in me. I can tell him Jesus loves you. And he will bring things to our remembrance. Amen. Did you know that God so loved you? He gave Jesus. Do you know what Christmas is all about? You know, and you may not even talk about it in those terms, but you start talking about, hey, I'm so happy it's Christmas. Well, why? Because Jesus came. Emmanuel, God is with us. I remember one time the Lord told me, he said it was around Christmas time. I'd been in some prayer time and we went and got something to eat, and I just was kept being drawn to this particular person, and I kind of look over there, and I'm like, Lord, what do you, you know, and the Lord was putting a particular phrase I just felt led to say. And I asked the Lord about it later. I finally, you know, matter of fact, it was so much so, I wasn't really looking, but, you know, I mean, I glanced over at the person a couple times, but then they said to me, "What? What? What do you have to say?" And I said, "The Lord said, you're in need of a Savior." "Oh, not me." I said, "Yes, sir, you are in need of a Savior." And I asked the Lord about that. I said, "Why did you have me really say that?" And he says, "Well, you have no idea how many times he'll hear that this time of year. There is a Savior that's been born. His name is Christ the Lord." And I mean, it seemed so simple to me, yet when I said it, there was a conviction in the heart. Me, I don't need a Savior. I don't need anybody. Yeah, you need a Savior. His name is Jesus, and I did tell him that. But we have to think about compassion. Jesus was moved many times with compassion. We're here in Matthew. Let's look here in chapter 15, verse 32. 15:32, and here he was feeding the 5,000. Now he's feeding the 4,000. Another time where they needed some food. Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, "I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry lest they faint on their way." Then his disciples said to him again, "Where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude?" Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" And they said, "Seven and a few little fish." So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets full of the fragments that were left. Now those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And he sent away the multitude, got into a boat, and came to the region of Magdala. But here we see in verse 32, Jesus talks to his disciples, "I have compassion on the multitude." I have compassion. You know, I want us to think about it, even in our own hearts. And I know many of you do, but when is the last time God moved you with compassion? You know, are we really allowing him? Are we surrendering to him to the point and letting him move us with compassion? You know, sometimes we're moved by human emotion, or sometimes we're moved a little bit in our heart. When's the last time we've really let God move us with his compassion? I'm just asking the question. I didn't say you weren't or that we aren't. And many times we are. We can be moved in compassion. You know, I think Jesus was moved with compassion when he prayed for Peter and prayed for the disciples that they didn't fail. They were all tested. You know, a lot of times we talk about Peter. Well, he denied the Lord. Well, yeah, the rest of them left too. They didn't even stick around to see what happened. And yes, he did deny him and the cock crew. And I don't know about you, but maybe you ever been in one of those places and you had opportunity, maybe you denied the Lord, or you didn't speak up for him, or you were ashamed of him. Amen. But we're not to be ashamed. And so I'm just saying here, I'm thinking, you know, Jesus many times here, he, you know, just in this other passage there, he was drawing himself away to be with the Father, and here they came looking for him. He didn't really feel in his natural man like ministering to a bunch of people. He was wanting to be alone with the Father. Came and interrupted his quiet time, which we need. We need to spend time with God. But how many know people are important? Amen. I'm not getting you to give up your quiet time. We need to spend time with God. And Jesus many, many times did, and he was going to again. And I'm sure when the crowd dispersed, he spent some more time with his Father. Because they knew, the disciples knew Jesus' secret. He said, well, how do you know they knew his secret? Because the one question that they asked Jesus, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Why? Because they saw when Jesus went away with the Father, he came back with some power. He came back with compassion. He came back with the ability of God on the inside of him. He said, the works that he did, we saw that before, right? He said, I don't do these works. The Father does them in me and through me. See, that's really revival, is knowing God, surrendering our heart to him, saying, Lord, I want to see people with your heart. I want to feel with what you sense toward them. I want your compassion to flow in me, Lord. Because I know I'm going to draw away, amen? I'm going to draw away with the Lord. And out of that place, then when we're out and about, when we're moving places, then he can move us with compassion. You know, I was at the Walmart. I like to go there sometimes, get my coffee in the morning. You know, it's not about, I didn't hear a voice. You know, it said go to McDonald's and get your coffee. I did. It was down here, you know, and somewhat up here. Get that coffee and you can get your brain working today. You know, no, not really. I don't have to have coffee, but I enjoy a little warm cup, you know, and I usually put, you know, three or four. I just put the cream in. I've been off sugar pretty much, you know, as much as I can anyway. You know, I stay away from sugar pretty much, not because I have to, but it seems to be helping me. Praise the Lord. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with a little sugar. I didn't say there was. But, you know, I try to stay away from it. So, you know, I get it with some cream. So maybe I could say, hey, I'm getting a little warm milk, you know, with some caffeine in it. Praise the Lord. Yeah. and it's good, and I enjoy that. Spend some time with the Lord, drink a little coffee. But, you know, sometimes you just see somebody, and immediately I was moved with compassion. I saw a guy sitting by himself, and I was just impressed. I don't mean I heard a voice. I mean, no, sometimes, you know, God can speak volumes, and you didn't hear any voice, but you did hear a voice. You heard it on the inside, just like you hear sometimes, you know, do you hear a voice that says, you're hungry? No, you don't, do you? But you do hear your body crying out for a little food, don't you? You could say, in a sense, I heard a voice. No, I had that unction. I had that sense in the inside. Go talk to this fellow. And I talked to Richard and was able to pray for him and bless him. And he was happy to have me talk to him. He was alone. I'm getting ready to leave. I thought, well, that's good. And the Lord led me to another lady to encourage her. He said, you tell her she, you know, and I just looked at her and I could see the light of Jesus all over. I said, you know, you shine a bright light. She says, that's amazing. That's what my devotional was this morning, about being a light for God. And I was able to talk with her, encourage her, strengthen. How many know, even if you're a believer, sometimes you need some strength? And when somebody doesn't know you and they start talking to you, you're like, wow, God really sees that in me. Wouldn't that be encouragement to you? Brother, there's a light on you. There's a strength in you. Now, yeah, we want everybody to come running to Jesus just like that. But many times there are things that take place in our life and we walk through because compassion comes upon us and we see that someone needs a helping hand. Amen. They need somebody with skin on them to say, hey, I care about you. Are you okay? Can I pray for you? Can I stand with you? Can we take authority over that thing that's coming against you, that attack that's against your life and trying to stop you or neutralize you, discourage you? Amen. Hallelujah. See, I know people here. I mean, you got to understand, I know you're pressing into God. And sometimes when we start pressing into God, how many know? He tries to come and discourage us. He tries to make an attack. It doesn't mean that it's not there. You know, we need to get, you know, I don't want us to get so spiritual. You know, Paul said this about Gaius. He said, he's writing to him, and he said, oh, I left Gaius back, and he was sick near unto death. Paul, the apostle, the one that got a lot of people healed, Gaius apparently didn't get it. And I'm not saying Paul didn't pray for him, but he didn't get an instant miracle. He did recover. Praise the Lord. How many will take recovery? If you don't get an instant miracle, you'll take recovery. That'd be all right. If you walk through. And many times in our life, we face things and we have to walk through some things. We walk through to what? Victory. We have victory because it's already been paid for. But we're in the process of receiving and appropriating some of the promises of God. Amen? And how many know sometimes we got to have some help? That's why we have a body. That's why we have believers around us. Because we're a body. And how many are glad that there's other parts of your body that bring antibodies to destroy things that attack your body? Amen? Anybody ever have an infection, you know? What happens? All your cells start working together and it goes to that infection. I remember they told me when I was in the hospital, they didn't want to send me home because my heart rate's a little high, which is okay. I mean, I didn't mind staying. But, you know, they said this resting heart rate's about 130. We don't feel comfortable sending you home. Well, shouldn't my heart be racing a bit? Yeah, it should be because it's working, what? To bring healing to the other part of your body. It's getting that blood moving. And I said, I told the doctor, I said, you know, I'm so proud of my heart. It's doing exactly what it was supposed to. And it was. Now they wanted to get the rate down and it came down. Praise the Lord. Came down more normal. Thanks to y'all's prayers. Hallelujah. We had people praying here. Amen. Thank you. You know, I appreciate that. It's been a couple of years ago now. I think it's been 2 years, isn't it? Yeah. That was something. The enemy comes. And, you know, he hasn't come. If he hasn't come to you yet, you just keep seeking God. Amen. How many know? They that walk godly. You know, when you walk with God, the enemy gets, you know, you get his attention. And sometimes even he doesn't even care if you're not walking with God. He'll come anyway because he's a thief and a liar and a robber, trying to stop you from moving into the things of God. Hallelujah. But God gives us the victory, and we need to think about compassion. Let's go to, let's stay in Matthew here. I've got another one here in Matthew. Matthew 18:27. Just a few pages over. Back up just a little bit, get some context. I'm going to start in 21 here and read a little bit. So then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. So he's given a parable explaining this forgiveness. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, "Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all." Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. How many would like that? Somebody get moved with compassion, amen. Release you of the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told the master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity or compassion on you?" And the master was angry and delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now here he's talking about forgiving, but he's talking about a compassion that lives on the inside. The servant here in this parable had compassion on the man and forgave him his debt. Yet, how much should we have compassion as well? He should have had compassion on whoever owed him. Amen? It's the right thing. It's what God has given us. And we can be moved with compassion and forgive people their debt, their sin debt, their unforgiveness toward us, their hurtful way. Amen? How many know the compassion of God lives on the inside of you? And it moves us to do something. Hallelujah. 20. Let's look at Matthew 20 for a minute, verse 34. Hallelujah. Matthew 20, is that where we are? Yeah. Verse 34, here he's calling the blind men to receive their sight. Let's back up a little bit and get some context again. Verse 29 says this, "Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him, Jesus, and behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet, but they cried out all the more, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' So Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' They said to him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.' So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." So here we see again, the men came that were blind, and of course they're sitting by the road, and they're crying out, "Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy on us." And the multitude tried to quiet him down and shut him down, and they got a little louder, "Lord, have mercy on us." And Jesus was touched Bring him to me. He had compassion on him. What do you need? What do you want? What is it you need help with? How many know sometimes people are crying out? They're all around us. Sometimes you can see or hear them cry out with a loud voice. And we can say, hey, the Lord will have compassion on you. We need to let God's compassion move in us. Amen. He is there. Hallelujah. Wow. Well, there's a lot of places. Glory to God. Let's go to Mark 5, the next book over. Don't make us go around too much, but I just want to share a few more scriptures here. Mark chapter 5, verse 19. And so here Jesus had cast the devil out here and cast the unclean spirit out of the man, he was possessed, and Jesus came and cast that out. But verse 19 says this, and verse 18 says this, and when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. Verse 19, however, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on you. You see where there was compassion involved in each instance, whether he had to feed the hungry. There was compassion involved when there was forgiveness to the man that owed. There's compassion involved when he healed the blind man. Here there's compassion involved. He said, go and talk to your friends and tell them how the master had compassion on you. How many know God had compassion on each and every one of us? Amen. How many have ever needed the compassion of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God to come in your life? And here we can go and we can tell and let the compassion of God move us. Amen. He said it is we've mentioned this before, the love of God or the compassion of God that compels us. It moves us to prayer. It moves us to speak words. It moves us to action. Amen. And when it's out of that place of a relationship with the Father, there seems to be a power that comes with that when we're moved with compassion. There's a presence. There's Him. And His compassion begins to set men free and deliver. Amen. Mark 6:34 says this. Mark 6:34. And here again, he was moved here with compassion. Verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Anybody ever had compassion to share truth with somebody? You know, a lot of times we don't connect sometimes compassion with the teaching ministry, do we? So, well, they're kind of dry and they're just teaching, you know. They're sharing truth because of the compassion of the Master. How many know it is the truth that sets us free? Amen. And sometimes we need to hear the truth of God and let the compassion of God move us to speak the truth of God in love. Amen. Sometimes it's not always easy. Sometimes there's truth we have to share with people that, you know, doesn't make us real happy, and it may be something that they really need, and they need to hear the truth. We need to speak the truth in love, don't we? Or the compassion of God moves us. Why? Because we're concerned for their soul, for their life. We know that if that doesn't change, they could possibly not fulfill what God's called them to do. They couldn't have the fullness of what God wanted in their life. And we want the best for them, just like God does. Amen? How many know God sets boundaries for us because of His compassion, His love? He cares about us. It's not that He wants us to just not have any fun in life. But how many know when we get into His presence, when we get His mind, when we continue to surrender our life to Him, and our life revolves around His presence and His desires, and we worship Him, and we minister to Him, and we lay our life before Him, and then we hear His instruction, amen? And His compassion compels us, whatever it is He would ask us to do. Hallelujah. How many are seeing a little bit about the compassion of God? It's in you too, because you're like Jesus. He lives in you. We saw that, didn't we, last Wednesday? quite strongly. Amen. The grace of God that saved us, that changed us, that made us new on the inside. We realize who we are, and we can let that compassion move us to prayer. We can let that compassion move us to feed hungry people. Amen. We can let that compassion move us to reach someone for God. Amen. And it's just loving people. It's letting compassion flow. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to read 1 John 3:11. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. He said, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Hallelujah. Well, let's look at 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who is of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Hallelujah. Jesus laid down his life for us. Amen. And it is the love of God. It is the compassion of God that lives on the inside of us, that moves us. And we can lay down our life for others. Amen. And for God, to God. That he can have his way, that he can manifest his power, that his love can flow to such a degree that a life is changed. You know, it's just as much compassion to lay down your life when he wakes you at 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. or whatever time it may be, or maybe it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It doesn't make any difference, does it? But if we lay down our life in prayer for someone, we can effect a change. Why? Because he said, we have authority in the earth. Our authority matters. God has given authority to man. When we allow him to use our authority in the earth, things begin to change. Because God is not living on the earth in Jesus. Right now, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Therefore, he said, I'm going. I have to go. Why? So that I can send you. So that I can leave my name with you, which will give you what? All authority to change circumstance in this life. Hallelujah. So when his compassion flows, we can know that God's going to do something. Amen. He's going to change some things. He's going to plant a seed. He's going to reap a harvest. He's going to heal the sick. He's going to help us to lay down our life so that others may live. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Father, for your word tonight. We thank you for your compassion that rests on the inside of us, Lord. We want to see more of your power and your compassion flowing in us, Lord. Help us to see with the eyes of Jesus. Help us to hear with your ears and to, Lord, allow your heartbeat to flow on the inside of us. That, Father, we will allow you to move us with compassion and see those that are broken, those that are sheep without a shepherd that may need an encouraging word or to be taught truth, Father, that will set them free. Lord, we thank you for your heart, for your compassion today. We allow it to rise up on the inside of us, and we ask you to guide us, to direct our steps, Lord, to that one or to whoever it is, Lord, that we have. Lord, even during this Christmas time, Lord, whether we're with our family that need your compassion or to see your love, Father, your goodness, Father, they need a prayer, they need a hug, Father. They just need someone to sit with them and to love them, Father. We thank you. We ask you to use us, Father. We're available for you, Lord. We surrender to you, Lord, at this time and this season. That just as Jesus came, Lord, we're available, Lord, to come alongside anyone, to come with you, Lord, to come away with you, to pray, to seek you, to change a circumstance. We're available, Lord. Let your compassion compel us, Lord. Let your love compel us. Let your compassion flow. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, Father. Amen and amen.